Hey guys, it's Brian from the High Spot Podcast. Thank you so much for supporting the show. We really appreciate it. We do our best, Jeff and I, Jeff Martin, my tech team partner, to give you the best episodes possible that we can muster up for you because we enjoy it and we love professional wrestling as well. So this is basically an episode Jeff and I recorded. We were working together and we quickly rushed into an empty studio because we knew WWE Fastlane was coming in the last pay-per-view before WrestleMania. We had a lot of things we wanted to talk about. A list of them were basically we talked a little bit about the Super Bowl. Since it's been such a long time since Jeff and I have recorded, we apologize for that. But I got to pay the bill somehow, right? We talked to UFC 186, Daniel Bryan's retirement, and how much big news that was. Again, the retirement of one of my idols, Martin Brodeur, the former goaltender for the New Jersey Devils, and arguably, which I still have yet to hear the argument against, the greatest goaltender in the history of the NHL. And it was just great catching up with him. We also went to Asbury Park, New Jersey, saw an NXT live event there. I went with Jeff and his girlfriend. It was really fun to kind of just take a little mini road trip to Asbury Park, New Jersey, and to watch some wrestling. Not sports entertainment. It was wrestling. So that's what you'd be listening to it. I tried to post up as quick as possible, but again, things being as they are, certain things get in the way. So you'll be listening to right now us previewing the card and leading to the events on Sunday and talking about everything else and just catching up with my good friend Jeff Martin. All right, guys, you're listening to the High Spot Podcast. You can catch us on Twitter at High Spot Podcast. I am Brian Berg alongside my tag team partner, Jeff Martin. And Jeff, first thing I want to start talking about real quick is the mere fact that we went to a great event not too long ago, NXT, which has been a staple as a favorite for me and you personally too, at Asbury Park, New Jersey. It's been a while since we've seen NXT up close. Your reactions to it, first off.
Well, the second that the tickets came out, I knew we were going to go. And my reaction, I guess, would be had a great time. Once everything started, got to see my favorite NXT superstars, and the matches were just quality. Had a great time. I mean, you got to see Finn Balor, Samoa Joe, Baron Corbin, Asuka, Alexa Bliss. So I was happy, really happy.
And wow, I'm shocked. Oh, you're gonna say it now?
No. And of course, I'm happy we got to see Austin Aries.
Okay.
I didn't want to spoil it for everybody, but they already know by now Austin Aries is in NXT. So that was great to see.
Yeah, I mean it was exciting for me because I never had a chance to ever see Austin Aries perform live. And to tell you guys, if you haven't had a chance to see Austin Aries, whether you haven't watched him on TNA, you haven't seen him in New Japan, you haven't seen him in Ring of Honor, or you haven't seen him now in NXT. He is a sight to see. This guy can go. He's unbelievable. I mean, I remember sitting at the event with Jeff and thinking to myself, Jeff, can you believe this, man? We have Finn Balor. We have AJ Styles, although he's on the main roster. We have Kevin Owens. We have, you know, he's been dealing with some complications, but hopefully Hideo Itami gets back ASAP. Sami Zayn, Adrian Neville on the roster. Austin Aries. This roster is stacked. I mean,
Austin Aries.
I just said Austin Aries.
No, just so excited because Austin Aries. We're like, oh my God, Austin Aries, you know? Mm-hmm. It's exciting. And then when you see, you know, the wrestlers that, you know, the wrestling fan enjoys to watch, it's very exciting. It's awesome.
There's a lot of nostalgia behind it because these are guys we watch and we're like, well,
no,
man.
Not even nostalgia because they're not that old, but I just think it's, wow, we're actually seeing, it's, wow, I hear this guy, you know, and you hear the rumors and, you know, unless you are a New Japan fan or else you watch Ring of Honor loyally or you watch all the shows Evolve, Lucha Underground, and you hear these names and you know, you're like, oh, well, let me check this guy out. To actually see him and then actually appreciate what they do. I mean, if you love wrestling, if you are just a fan and you just want to be entertained and it's, you know, straight up just wrestling for 10 minutes, 12 minutes, NXT is your thing. You know, you're definitely not going to tune into Raw or SmackDown. It's definitely going to be, NXT is going to be your thing.
Well, to me, why it was nostalgic for me was the mere fact of what you just spoke of. It was wrestling.
Because we haven't hung out in a while, maybe.
Maybe that too. It's been a while. I mean, our schedules always conflict with each other, but okay, we have to pay the bills and bring the bread home some way, right? But it had a feel of nostalgia for me just for the mere fact that it's been just such a long time, not just hanging out with you, but going to an event. And I've gone to WWE Live events recently in the last couple of years, but it didn't have the same feeling as I went there and this was wrestling, like Jeff liked to talk about. It took its time. We actually had holds, maneuvers. The pace quickened. It slowed down. It told a story in the ring. And for these performers, it makes me feel one of two things. I'm happy and excited, looking forward to the near future and what the future brings with all these stars from the Performance Center, NXT, and, you know, being sought out from New Japan, Ring of Honor, Lucha Underground, all these things. But I'm still a little worried, because the biggest fear you and I always have is what happens when they make it to the main roster. Are they going to be used properly? And that fear is legitimate
too.
Fear.
You're like, wow, you know, this might work, this might not. So, yeah, you do have that question in your mind, how will it be in the main roster, because you think of Tyler Breeze and you think of the Ascension and Neville to an extent, and kind of leaves a bad taste in your mouth. But for now, enjoy it. I would say just enjoy it for now, because, you know, they're wrestling in front of you, they're having a great time. And let me tell you something, everyone has a great time. I mean, even to, like, when Bailey, when, you know, when her props didn't work and she helped lift up, you know, those little things that blow up when they sway back and forth.
It's a flacky and weightable roll-up guy or something like that, I think it's called.
Applaud you for even trying to attempt
to
name it, because I was like, you know, those little things that inflate and sway back and forth, you know, yeah. You know, but she's trying to lift them up and everything like that. But, you know, like Bailey, you'd see Bailey and she has a great time. You know, Finn Balor and Sami Zayn afterwards, they did a little skit there with their jackets, and yeah, it's just a great time. And, you know, there was no match that I was like bored. No, none of them.
No,
you
not at
seven
all.
Good matches. And again, it was
my
just
favorite
wrestling.
One was Enzo
fans.
And Cass against
the
Vaudevillians. And you make a perfect point, Jeff. And I don't like to compliment you too much, because I don't want you to get a massive ego and then not want to do the show anymore with
thing.
Me.
It might be a routine thing. And then
who knows?
Choice, but
I don't see it happening in the near future. Who knows? You know,
do make interesting points.
Yeah, when's the next lunar eclipse? But won't be for a while, for you at least. But you said it, like NXT, you think of NXT, the immediate first thing you think is fun. And it was fun the entire time. It wasn't fun waiting. I mean, Jeff and I got there super
they
early.
They could have done a better line. And let me tell you something. We got the tickets, and it's at 6 p.m. And I was fretting from, like, I was like, wait a minute, this thing's going to start at 6 p.m.? It's
I'm
NXT.
Literally
I don't
leaving
know what kind
work.
Of
I'm leaving
is,
work
I'm like,
early.
Yeah.
And I'm rushing because I'm in the city.
I told my girlfriend, hey, listen, got to be done by 12 by noon. And
exactly.
I get there at 3, and she's like, is it noon? And I'm like, yeah, just things got late.
You know? I'm getting a little panic-stricken, too, because I'm thinking, okay, hopefully I get down there. By the time it'll be 4 o'clock, oh, man, we got 2 hours. We're going to get stuck in traffic.
Kind of did a little bit,
but that always happens. For anybody who ever drives in traffic, for some reason, the thing that annoys me the most is when you're in traffic, there's a big jam, and then as it finally dissipates, as it finally unclogs itself.
There you go. Make it easier on yourself.
Yes, I don't want to use fancy words anymore. But when it starts clearing itself up, you start realizing nothing caused it. But we're in a rush. Jeff was really nervous. I was trying to stay calm for both of us. And we got there. It was right by the shore. But nice facility from the outside, inside.
How about playing those games, though, we did in the car, though, when we tried naming each main event of WrestleMania?
It made me realize how scary and how funny it is at the same time. We have a lot of wrestling knowledge in our minds, and just to reflect
it for good.
We're trying to do it. That's why we're doing this podcast, the High Spot Podcast with Jeff Martin and Brian Berga. We're trying to use it for good. Our power is for good and not evil. But yeah, it was just it was a stressful time, and they could have done a better job. And everybody was packed. It was windy. We're waiting literally for an hour and a half for this thing to start. By the time we're getting so frustrated, the crowd was actually saying, get off the stage. We want to see NXT, man.
And then 7:30, you know, we're like, okay, 7 o'clock.
Yeah.
You know, and then 7:30. But you know what? After that, matches were great.
But at the end of the day, it was worth it because we had a great time. It was fun. We felt like kids again because we're still kids at heart. And it just makes me so excited to go to Dallas when we head to WrestleMania.
Yeah, we were
kind of
telling ourselves,
TakeOver.
You know what? You know, because we're like, okay, February 19th, we're like, okay, you know, we get through this, and then all of a sudden, you know, Fastlane, which we're going to get into in a couple of minutes here. We're like, okay, after that's over, you know, then after that, you think about it, and that's it, WrestleMania. You know, WrestleMania is around the corner. And you know what else I'm happy about, too, is like Easter is going to be on the 27th, so we can actually eat meat. And we can actually, like, pig out in Dallas, because I was telling you, like, I want barbecue food. And I was like, wait a minute, if we go Friday, you know, actually, no.
Do we have that same issue at WrestleMania 30?
Yeah, we did. No, yeah. WrestleMania 30, we couldn't eat meat on Friday. We had to break the rule, because we couldn't find anything. Listen, for all those people that say that New Orleans has the best food, well, we couldn't find it the
first
day.
Show us where it is.
We couldn't find it. And then, like, Seafood Network, and they're like, oh, in the heart of New Orleans. And I'm like, yeah, I didn't see it. I was walking around, you know, aimlessly.
Travel guide.
And then the Popeyes,
Food Network
was the best thing that we could eat.
They're all liars.
But
Louisiana style Popeyes,
but
exactly.
But I digress.
But again, it made me excited for the fact that right around you made you excited. It makes you excited for Barbecue Feud, but it makes me think we're gonna be in Dallas before you know it.
Yeah.
We're gonna be, you know, doing the podcast from there as well.
We're actually gonna do it. Getting it out. We're actually gonna take this stuff and not actually just pack it in. We're actually going to, you know what we should
do? Well, in defense
do?
Of
the
that, we had so many things we were doing. We didn't have time to sit there.
And this time we're going on a Thursday now, so we're going to get a chance.
A day early, yes. So hopefully we adjust.
And, you know, set up the hotel and make sure we get the best, you know, what's the name? Feng shui. Feng shui.
Yeah, it's where the furniture's all lined up properly. And hopefully we'll run into the Busted Open guys.
Oh, we will.
Because, you know, they obviously, if you guys don't know already, and again, if you want to leave us any comments, hit us up on Twitter at High Spot Podcast. But we also write for the Busted Open Nation, BustedOpenNation.com. We write articles. Jeff writes NXT reports. I write SmackDown
and I'm
reports.
I'm on a writer's block right now. Something's going on with me. I've been on such a writer's block.
It happens.
And, you know, I just got...
The more you think about it, the worse it'll get, though.
Yeah. No, but I really got to get back focused. It used to be something where, bada bing, bada boom.
Two realest guys in the room.
And now it just, you know, I just stare at it blankly, and it takes me, like 10 hours to do it. It shouldn't. It's an hour show. But, no, NXT was fun. And, you know, we're on here today because we're going to talk about Fastlane coming up. And, you know, we check off NXT Live now from Asbury Park, which was great. I would give it a high grade. And if NXT is ever in your area, I would just check it out. It really is fun.
There you go. Cheap plug.
There you go. But we head into Fastlane now, which is coming up. And, you know, your comments. I mean, I think what I'm looking forward to is AJ Styles and Jericho.
Yeah.
You know, everybody's talking about the triple threat match. And I think everybody knows where it's going, where they're headed.
Yeah, I mean, that's the only match on the card that I'm looking forward to. I mean, really, for me, the main thing I'm looking forward to Fastlane is for Fastlane to be over. Because I know right around the corner then, it's WrestleMania. And it had kind of the same feeling. I don't know if you share the same feeling I did, Jeff. Like, when they had No Way Out, that was always the pay-per-view before WrestleMania. And they would build it up really good where, you know, storylines would kind of finally work their way to the next 4 weeks until Mania would start. Here, I just feel like it's all predetermined. We kind of know what's
going
to happen. And let's get started right from the bat,
you know,
on the top of the card.
And I'm going on the website for WWE, and I guess they redid their website. They made a big announcement a couple days ago that the website was relaunched. And it looks, I don't know, because ESPN did that. And everyone's like, whoa, I can't find anything because it's just, you know, so we'll check it out. But I see the matches here. So let's start off with the kickoff show, Kalisto and
Del Rio.
We'll start real quick with Kalisto and Del Rio. And here's the thing. This is how far the United States Championship has fallen. It's being, contested at the kickoff show. And, you know, I'll say Kalisto wins because, you know, it just makes no sense to take the title off of him.
Well, if you think about it, nothing's really made sense in terms of the way they've booked Fastlane. Why would you have the United States title at the kickoff show? I get it. I wrote this in my article for the SmackDown Report, the last one before Fastlane, and I said, you know, where's the prestige anymore? You know, I'll be the first one to admit John Cena brought it back, and now it's withered away and it's non-existent anymore. I get from a business standpoint, I guess, that you want the kickoff show, you want people to tune into it, so you're putting a title on the line to look at it. But again, you could do the same thing with the tag team titles, which are not going to be defended at Fastlane, from what I can tell.
They're going to be on the Peep Show.
Exactly.
The Cutting Edge Peep Show, because Edge and Christian's show debuts tonight, so that's why.
Yeah, so the titles are not going to be in line. The Dudley Boys have turned heel, so there could have been something there with, something going on there, but they're not going to be on the line. And you put the United States title there, which I wouldn't be surprised if Alberto Del Rio wins this, and then we have another match with Kalisto and Alberto Del Rio. Now, don't get me wrong, Jeff, I like watching these guys in the ring. Their last match they had was, to me, great. I loved it at the Royal Rumble. I thought it was, I would say five-star, but it was so good. These two have such great chemistry together from that Lucha Libre style. But again, if you keep flip-flopping the title, then it doesn't make sense anymore.
Yeah, and I don't think it's going to happen. That's why I think that, although WWE's...
Would it surprise you if it did?
No, it wouldn't surprise me, although WWE, you know, tends to do that stuff. But yeah. I'm going to go for common sense, and I think that Kalisto will retain the title.
I'm picking Del Rio in this one.
Del Rio, okay, yeah. So we disagree on one thing. And you know what the one thing is?
One of many things we disagree with.
I suppose you know more than wrestling, but when we did the last Royal Rumble, I proved to not know what I was doing. I got a lot of stuff wrong as far as like comparing the matches and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't very accurate with the booking.
Give me an example. Which one were we talking about?
Just the Royal Rumble match itself and how it would go. And also, I think...
Well, you picked Triple H, but you picked him at 31, though.
Yeah, no, but just... Entry 31. Yeah, it was something with... Saying again, too in-depth, but I know I didn't have a good record. I know I don't remember. I don't remember the matches offhand, but I just didn't have a good record. And now you go for the Intercontinental titles on the line, Kevin Owens and Dolph Ziggler. I love when these two guys get in the ring.
Oh, my God.
You know, listen, I just wish Dolph Ziggler would pick a fashion style and stick with it, because now, every time I see him now, he looks more and more like Shawn Michaels. And I hope they booked him like that, because I think he's really talented, and I love Kevin Owens. And again, you know, Ziggler fighting for the Intercontinental title for the millionth time. Again, just consistency. I would like to see Kevin Owens walk away with the retaining the title. So I'm going to go Kevin Owens.
Well, I think that's going to be the theme, basically, as we go down this card up to the main event, Jeff, is the lack of consistency there is in booking. Now, again, I'm sure people always say, hey, if it's so easy to book, then you should do it, right?
Yeah, I should do it. I can do it.
I would love that challenge. You know, why not? But I don't see the application on WWE.com yet.
It's not our final choice, though.
It's not our final choice to do.
It's up to Vince.
It's up to Vince.
No, I don't like it.
So let us know, Vince. Hit us up on Twitter. But, there's so much inconsistency where you said, you know, pick a fashion style, Dolph Ziggler. But at the same time, there have been so many comparisons since he started in the business, really, I forget how many years ago it was, to Shawn Michaels. And he does super kicks. You know, that's part of his finish. It's still the zigzag. But, you know, now with the whole thing with Kevin Owens, it doesn't make any sense. I'm not invested in it for the mere fact that, okay, Kevin Owens went to do this thing and Dolph Ziggler did this. Dolph Ziggler beat him two Raws in a row. Then they're no longer together. And then for some reason, when he wins the F5 match on Raw, which was a fatal five-way, now Ziggler's back in the title run for the Intercontinental. It just, there's no consistency of why it would be there. Where is it leading to?
I'm happy for Kevin Owens that he won the Intercontinental title, but it's just weird. He loses consecutive matches, and
I just think it hurts Kevin Owens.
It hurts
in the long run, because
the Intercontinental even more.
Yeah, you know, the Intercontinental has not had relevancy in a long time, Jeff. But to me, I think it hurts more of Kevin Owens. He's got to deal with this over and over again, and the way they're using him right now is not going to be he's not going to get his WrestleMania moment that he wants, basically, because he's just being misused so much, as you know, there's a lot of talent in the roster. So
who's going to win?
You didn't say he was going to win.
So who's going to win?
Okay. I'm saying KO. KO's going to win.
Kevin Owens?
Yeah. You got that look on your face like, just get to your point.
No. I'm wondering if you thought that you had forgotten, if you thought you declared a winner. So
who do you got winning?
I said Kevin Owens.
Okay, sorry.
Just got a
consistency. I kind of got lost in, yeah. There's no consistency here. Yeah. Okay.
Okay, so we move on to the Divas Championship, and it's going to be Charlotte and Brie Bella. Quickly, though, I don't want to spend too much time on them, but I just figured we'd just get to all of them, because we just go, you know, bullet point for bullet point.
I got you.
I think that Charlotte over Brie Bella, I was thinking upset in the beginning, but then I was like, you know what, it just made no sense to just give it to Brie Bella on sentimental reasons, just because Daniel Bryan retired and the spotlight's on her. So I think Charlotte's going to come away with the victory, and I think she's going to go to Mania and defend the title some way or somehow with Sasha.
Here's the thing. I'm torn between that, because I agree with you in the sense that Charlotte should win it, but I think the nostalgia factor is going to factor in, no pun intended, for the fact that because Daniel Bryan's retired and she's doing the whole yes thing, they're going to be like, oh, Brie's going to retire soon. Let's give her the title run.
Yeah, don't for the sake of doing it. You know what I mean?
I feel that's going to be influential in this, and she's going to end up winning the title.
There's a chance, though. There's
and it's going to be Brie, Sasha, Becky, and Charlotte, and it's going to be a four-way type of thing.
I hope not. I know she's.
I bet
retire,
you it's going
like,
to be like that.
I know she's going to retire around SummerSlam, so if they do a nostalgia match, I'd rather do it at SummerSlam. But, no. I mean, I really want to see Charlotte and Sasha Banks at Mania. Somewhere or another, I want to see them. And here's the match that I think should have been on the kickoff. How about Becky Lynch and Sasha Banks against Naomi and Tamina? Now, I know you're saying, wait, Sasha Banks, whatever. But, you know, two Divas matches, you know, on the same card for the pay-per-view or special, whatever you want to call it.
Yep.
That's weird. I'm just going to say, just because Becky Lynch, Sasha Banks, just because, you know, they're them, I think they're going
to
win.
This is a perfect example of the WWE not knowing what to do with talent. It's sad enough that we have to resort to Becky and Sasha, who's two talented individuals, to be the kickoff show. But again, it makes sense. This thing has
and
been...
No offense to them.
No offense to them.
Two matches. You know, who books two matches on the card?
I know. And perfectly... An imperfect storyline here, where it just makes no sense. there's no reason behind it. Should have been the kickoff show. We should have moved the U.S. title back up to the main card. But again, in this one...
And again, don't think, oh, you're hating on the ladies. We're not hating on the ladies. If the WWE would have done the Divas Revolution the right way, then we wouldn't be doing it because they took something that they could have struck gold on, and they've dropped the ball on it for forever. And here's another match.
Hey, but look at this card. I'd rather see four Divas matches that were singles competitions than these tag teams that I hate all the time.
And here's another match where you, like, wake me up till, you know...
Before you go.
Yeah, wake me up. Ryback, Big Show, and Kane... against the Wyatt family. Again, I'm like, oh, like...
You're sharing my sentiment, man. This is why I hate tag team matches. SmackDown, I deal with this every single week, Jeff. There's always a free... What's the main event? Oh, it's going to be a tag match. What kind? Who gives a shit?
See,
it's going to be another tag match.
I'm glad I got to run down it because you're telling me how you feel. This is good radio. This is good to see you angry. Because, again, I don't want to see Ryback, Big Show, Kane, and the Wyatt family. I respect the Big Show. I loved his podcast interview with Stone Cold Steve Austin. It was great.
He's a funny guy.
Ryback... I respect the Howling for what he does. You know,
you had
mean?
The pleasure of meeting Big Show once. I never.
Yeah,
did.
I did. You know, his hand totally engulfed mine. It was very. I was very.
Is he more?
Stuck
is he
awe.
Very awestruck in person?
Yeah, I get awestruck. Wow. He's huge, dude. He's huge. I don't want to bother him too, anyways. But you know, really, really nice guy. The Wyatt family again. They're going to come off dominant. I think eventually be Bray Wyatt and Brock Lesnar in Mania. I think why bury them here?
Just wait till WrestleMania to bury them.
I think they're fighting names here with Kane, Big Show, and Ryback, so I think Wyatt family gets over, and I think that's all we should spend time on.
Yeah, no doubt. No, just leave it with this, Jeff. Something that I always use in my reports and I always use when you and I talk about this kind of stuff is time filler.
I couldn't
that's
write
what this
for
is.
SmackDown or Raw. I really couldn't.
It's not easy.
I mean, you've had to now make video blogs now for Raw because it's just been, what am I going to write about?
I know. I mean, I might can start doing video blogs because at the same time, there are only maybe two or three things that I want to talk about and not really break down the card. Maybe I'll change my writing style, I don't know, but time filler, that's what this is. Sasha, Becky with Naomi and Tamina, and then this, the three titans against the Wyatt family and Bray Wyatt going on in a spew about him being the king of the gods now. So now he's the eater of worlds, the king of the gods, the new face of fear, you know,
the king of Sting, the count the of Monte Fisto.
Exactly. He's like Apollo Creed. It never ends, for God's sake.
Hey, you got enough nicknames.
Patient Stallion, it's almost done. And, you know, so is Bray Wyatt. To me, he's almost done. If he goes up against Brock Lesnar he loses, and you've built this up, he's 4-0, right? He's 4-0 in WrestleMania. He lost against Cena.
0-4.
0-4.
Yeah. 4-0, yeah. Cena, Taker. I mean, basically, his he's going to be tagged with the guy that's a bully and can't get the job done and, you know, can't back it up.
I can't wait to see, a Braun Green Man against Big Show at WrestleMania.
I hope not.
Yeah.
Okay, and then the one that I want to watch is AJ Styles, the phenomenal one. Yes. And I have more of an issue with the way it was booked in the match.
What's your issue? We're definitely disagree on this.
Against Chris Jericho. I like AJ Styles to go over. I think Chris Jericho, that's what he does. Love him for it. I'm glad Chris Jericho was back, but I'll tell you what I don't like. I don't like the fact that they bust his chops because he can't call himself the phenomenal one. Oh, what have you done? Call yourself phenomenal one. Listen, I know the WWE is a standard bearer. I know if you don't get here, you really haven't done anything because, you know, this is the big stage.
The big leagues, as Jericho calls it.
I understand, and I don't think Jericho, he's genuine. I think he's smart. He knows the business, and I think he's done everything possible to put AJ Styles over, but you just, you know, you're cutting away from him talking, and I know he's not the best talker in the world, but it's just the stuff where you are looking from your high horse and looking down at AJ Styles. To me, I just am not a fan of it. Not a fan of it. And I know he's going to get the rub here. I know AJ Styles is going to go over, but again, I just wish they would have done it in a different way. He's a pit bull. He's fine, but I totally thought he was going to make more of an impact coming into the WWE as far as the way they were going to place him. But you know what? Jericho and AJ Styles, you can't complain about the product that you're going to see in the ring.
No, you can't. And this is where we disagree. You have all valid points on that. And that's initially how I thought. Yes, and you know, I'll edit this out. But you had initially great points and how I initially felt when the storyline started developing. I'm like, oh, here we go. Everything he's done. I think I brought a similar situation with Becky Lynch where they negated her past and didn't mean anything. Doing the same thing with AJ Styles here. And to a higher extent, he has more longevity. More people know him. And you do that. But here's the thing. If it was done any other way Would you have that same feeling of, oh my God, they're really, you know, dumping on AJ right
it's
now?
It's not the dumping; it's the way they're placing the words. Because if he debuted at the Royal Rumble, they called him the master of, you know, of offensive moves, maneuvering or something like that, right?
Offensive innovation.
There
yes.
you go, offensive innovation. They built him up, so when he came out, he was big. Like him face to face with Roman Reigns. At that point, I was like, wow, you know, okay, they put him in Roman Reigns. And then now he's just in the mid card, and I just wish that they would have, I guess it started out with the way they talked about him, but then just where they've placed him. I just think AJ Styles can provide more, you know what I mean?
But here's the thing, too.
It
all depended on where he came. Basically, all the storylines were already set up anyway for WrestleMania, so you really couldn't put him in the title run. So what are you doing? You're building him with somebody that can help make him better than what he is. They're keeping him from talking, which they should have done with Roman Reigns a long time ago. And I think in the end, it's going to work out for him because this could all lead up to a match now. It ends here at Fastlane between Jericho and AJ. It's done here. If it continues at WrestleMania, don't really see why. Kevin Owens is right there for the pickings. They have their history at the Royal Rumble. Yeah. They have their history there.
They laid the seed.
They laid the seed. They planted it. And now all that Jericho's done, he's even proven now AJ's even more worthy to go up against a guy like Kevin
okay,
Owens.
Okay, here's the perfect thing.
More
right
legitimacy
now.
In a way.
Here's the thing before we move on.
Okay.
When AJ Styles was face-to-face with Roman Reigns, you were pumped because it was believable. Now after everything's in the ring, if you see him in the ring with Roman Reigns, do you think like, eh?
Well, I'm sure that's how they're going to play it out to be. But
it was big at the Rumble. But if you put them in between now, I think they've put a little dent in AJ's credibility.
We'll see what happens. I'm not going to disagree with that, but I think at the same time it's been done for a particular reason because we know more than anything Vince McMahon or the powers that be, and we all know who's running the place, although it's the Authority and Triple H and Steph, we know that Vince never has ever, I mean, let's use Jericho as a perfect example. He's never liked guys that have been established prior to going to the WWE.
Yeah.
He's never liked to make guys that are not his own creations. Rob Van Dam, Chris Jericho, the late Chris Benoit, Dean Malenko, Eddie Guerrero. Look how long it took for Eddie Guerrero to get over, and the crowd loved him. But then he had a title run, and everybody thought that he wasn't marketable enough to make money, and they took the title off him. He went back down to the mid-card level. Vince and the WWE never like working or validating creations that weren't made by them. I still think it's salvageable, but you know how this ends up, AJ going over. Let's see what happens at WrestleMania.
Yeah, I'm not taking anything away about the match. The match is awesome.
You know? No, you don't like the way he's being used.
Yeah,
exactly. I get it.
And then, of course, finally...
Should be a good match, though.
Oh, I'm excited. That's it. That'll make me go... That'll make me put through the riot.
Did you see the second one? The second one made me feel a lot better than the first one when it was kind of...
SmackDown?
It was iffy. Yeah, the second one was really good.
It was good. And, you know, he got his win in the tag team match and then took his loss. Again, and, you know, part of me was like, I wish he didn't lose, but it sets up... The third and final meeting between AJ Styles and Chris Jericho.
That's a lost art, what they do.
Jay. And again, props to Jericho for for doing this. Dean Ambrose versus Roman Reigns versus Brock Lesnar. And a lot of stuff going out here, especially Paul Heyman the last week or so. The interaction with Roman Reigns kind of also, again, plants the seed of what's going on there, you know, the shaking of the hands. Could we see somehow Paul Heyman, turning on Brock Lesnar and having Roman Reigns turn heel going into WrestleMania? It just plants a seed because they want to, you know, go different ways and, you know, kind of confuse the audience. But listen, from day one, we've argued this from last year's WrestleMania, okay, to this year. Roman Reigns is going to go to WrestleMania, I think, and take on Triple H. And that's what I think. Heel or not, he's going to Mania.
And Brock Lesnar, at that end, gets screwed by the Wyatts, ends up fighting Bray. Where does that leave Dean, then? Because he's the odd man out. I know why they made him lose his title for the mere fact and Brock Lesnar having those stare-downs with Triple H, especially at the end of SmackDown and Raws, and the altercations they've had one-on-one for a brief period of time. It's given us the illusion that this could possibly, could possibly happen. Maybe Roman won't win it. Like, everybody thought he was going to win WrestleMania 31. And then, thank God, they changed the ending. But that was the original plan. Hopefully, if you're a betting man, this is the safe bet. Roman Reigns is going to go get his WrestleMania moment and finally win over the Authority that had screwed him over. But I wish they changed it. I really would like to see a Brock Lesnar go at it. You know, maybe Dean Ambrose, but to me, not that Dean Ambrose isn't a main event caliber superstar, but it doesn't make sense in terms of the history and the buy rate. You mean, if you see Brock and Triple H, that's going to sell out or be more intriguing as a main event than Dean Ambrose and Triple H for right now.
We're talking to him in the car about it, heading to NXT. We're talking about Roman Reigns turning heel and saying that he, you know...
But does he fit with Paul Heyman, though? Is that something they tried to do with Cesaro? They tried to do with these other people.
It
doesn't work.
I think he puts a Band-Aid on something that... I think you're plugging your finger into a leak because, you know, like you said, one of Roman Reigns' deficiencies, or, you know, one of his negatives is his mic skills, right?
Yeah.
So I think, you know, he's got a good guy like Paul Heyman to do the talking. So I think that works, but temporary. But then when you let him go, because your ultimate thing is to make him a face, you know, he's got to speak on his own. So I think you're going to try to plug a hole into something that has a leak. But if you looked at the interaction between Paul Heyman and Roman Reigns was short and to the point when he shook hands with Paul Heyman and had no problem with it.
And I bet you a lot of that had to do with Paul Heyman being in the ring with him saying, you know, don't say anything. Just make your points and get out.
Didn't we say after last year's promo when they got snowed in, they had to do the Raw at the headquarters and they had the face-to-face Roman Reigns and Brock, and Paul Heyman, his promo that he did with those two guys, I think, and I told you, it sold me on WrestleMania 31. So we'll see. We'll see.
It's an amazing comparison that I make. Tell me if it makes any sense to you. When people have said, like, you could watch Ric Flair in his prime, even Ric Flair now, with a broomstick for 45 minutes and you'd be entertained. Paul Heyman has the gift of he could go out right now in New York City and pull a trash can and put garbage on top and sell me that this was good enough for me and force me to pay $100 for whatever crazy amount for it. He's that good at selling. He's a promoter. He has to do that.
Paul Heyman is that good that if, for example, the WWE got snowed in somewhere or something like that and he was the only person on the roster available, he could go out for 3 hours, entertain me with his monologues and just everything. He's just that good.
Oh, yeah. If he has a one-man show close by, I'm definitely going to it. I would love to spend an hour listening to all the stories because I love watching his DVD. But again, back to Roman Reigns and Paul Heyman, I get it. It makes sense to me as well, but in the long run, I don't think it works because they've tried this experiment before. They've separated him from CM Punk. They separated him to the point when they separated him from Brock Lesnar when he was the next big thing. Put him with Big Show. Put him with all these other people. It just didn't work. It's like a glove. It fits on one hand, and it fits for Brock Lesnar and CM Punk, although CM Punk really didn't need him. But it was just a nice connection, a friendship there.
They click because they have chemistry.
For Roman Reigns, as much as it would benefit him, and I think Paul Heyman would do a phenomenal job to the best of ability. It just wouldn't work. You said it would be a band-aid on it. At the end of the day, it's Paul Heyman and Brock Lesnar to the very end because you can't have them turn on each other. It just doesn't make any sense. And you put somebody like Brock Lesnar, who's not known for talking, it's never been a shtick, in a vulnerable situation because he needs to be sold the only way Paul Heyman can do it.
Yeah, I don't want to see Brock Lesnar step away from Paul Heyman because, you know, down deep, they're really friends to begin with. So, you know, it won't be that believable because at the end of the day, you know, they travel together. They're best friends. They've been so. They made no secrets about it outside. They'd break kayfabe. So it wouldn't work for me, too. But, you know, a little correction, too. The United States Championship match between Kalisto and Del Rio, this is why it should be on the main card. It's going to be a 2 out of 3 falls match. And that's something that I failed to realize. So if he's going to have 2 out of 3 falls on a pre-show, you know, again, more of a reason why he should be on the main card. And then again, no offense to Sasha. I love Sasha.
Oh, yeah.
You show me the up, up, down, down.
That's such a great YouTube video, guys. If you haven't seen it, go in and watch it. It's hilarious.
It's something like, wow, they found their thing. Like you know, me and Brian were talking about, you know, we need to find something. We need to find a niche because everybody has a wrestling podcast. Everybody, you know, we're not founders of anything, you know.
We're not just the first and won't be the last.
Exactly. So we're trying to make this as entertaining as possible. So I was telling Brian, you know, we need to find a niche. We need to find something. And Xavier Woods, who is so creative, and, you know, I think he's also, like, one of the masterminds behind the New Day and the stuff that they do and how creative they are. you know, came up with this. You know, he's a gamer. He loves video games, and you know,
Dude, if we were working for the WWE, whether we were wrestlers, we would just love to hang out with the whole New Day. Basically, they sit down and they play video games. You'd be playing Madden. I'd be playing like Batman Arkham Knight.
I'd be like, listen, I gotta play Madden. Whoever wants to play Madden,
we'd be doing like game gauntlets, like Street Fighter, Mortal Kombat, Madden tournaments. You know, the one where they actually showed up.
You kind of get nostalgic too. You kind of get nostalgic because like, oh, I remember I played that, and then they win the glove.
The remote control glove, the old school Nintendo one. Exactly.
And it's a fun show too. And again, you know, it just shows you. And then, you know,
I'm getting that T-shirt, man.
You know, Sasha Banks was in it. Becky Lynch. It was Bayley.
Yeah, Becky Lynch has been on it.
Yeah, and how fun is that? It just seems like a fun show. And again, you got to find our niche. So.
And what I love is that it breaks kayfabe. Not that I'm a huge fan of breaking kayfabe.
We love Sasha and we love Becky
I just like
Lynch.
Knowing more about them and kind of puts them in an atmosphere where they kind of share more and you're like, oh, wow, I didn't realize
that's cool, man.
That kind of thing about
them.
In
the locker room. You know, you got to do something because...
To kill the time.
Yeah, by the time you go to the gym in the morning and then you got to go to the arena, you got to kill time. So if I'm going to head to the arena early, might as well, you know. But, you know, the funny thing is Xavier Wood carries around that stuff. He's got to travel with all those consoles, which is... Wow, that's a lot. That's why, I guess that's why they're his prized possessions.
They are. And sometimes, you have to deal with a little uncomfortableness to enjoy the rest of your time there because they go through long road trips and long stints to places, and hey, you got to kill time. And if it wasn't Xavier Woods, it's going to be somebody else carrying that stuff.
And
maybe Big E.
And then we drove back. It was like, I'd say like almost 11 coming back from Asbury Park, and we kind of felt we were like on that ride-along show on the WWE.
We were just sharing stories of our youth, of what it was like watching wrestling and the Monday Night Wars and just life in general. The most Jeff and I ever get a chance to talk to you guys.
Stuff too, because we haven't talked in a long time.
That's when Jeff and I really get, when we were in a car or driving or it's 3 o'clock in the morning, because that's the only time we ever get a chance to talk, besides doing this podcast. And it was cool and it's fun. And like I said, Dallas is only... feels like almost a couple weeks away, and I can't wait for that countdown to start because I'm ready. I'm RSVPing now. My brain is in Dallas right now. My body's stuck here in Jersey.
And, you know, unfortunately, too, we didn't get a chance to talk about, too, or discuss because it's just of our schedules and everything is Daniel Bryan's retirement. And, something that you didn't want to believe was happening because, first of all, you think he's a hell of a guy. Also, because we went to WrestleMania 30, and every time Brian shows me the video and just how happy everybody was and just the whole memory of that weekend, meeting Daniel Bryan, we tell you the Iowa story with the two brothers, I think, that we met. And, you know, I goofed, and I didn't get any VIPs from the websites because it was on me. You know, Brian was kind enough to get the access passes, but it's up to me to get the VIPs, and I didn't do my job, so I caught heat from Brian.
Nuclear. It was nuclear heat.
And so we met these two guys asking us for directions to the
convention center.
So, we walked them a little bit, and then they turned around, and, I mentioned my goof, and next thing you know, we're going to see Daniel Bryan, and that was great. That was crazy. And it was just like everything aligned in the stars. That day, we got to see meet Daniel Bryan. And it was just, it was just a great weekend. And so, I know I digress, but, you don't want to believe it because Daniel Bryan's a hell of a guy. He's entertained us so much. But, for the man, for the family guy that he is, for the husband and the father that he wants to be, at least he got to have 16 years of a career, and at least he had to have his WrestleMania moment. So to Daniel Bryan, I just want to say thank you. And that speech... where you talked about gratitude, well, you know what? I want to thank you, and I want to say that I am grateful that I got to see you in the ring. I'm grateful that I got to let you convince me to go to New Orleans and watch it firsthand, and you brought a lot of joy to everyone. And I just wanted to say I tip my cap, if I had one, right now, and say thank you, Daniel Bryan.
I think, and I mentioned this to you when he finally announced his retirement, it's a double-edged sword. I mean, I'm happy for Daniel Bryan and for the fact that he's moving to a new stage of his life, wants to have a family. You get all those aspects of it. But as a fan, as a fan at heart, which we are, I mean, a lot of people are who listen, who watch, who still watch professional wrestling, we always have that selfish, and I admit it, I have that selfish quirk in me where I just want these guys to stay young forever. I don't mind getting older. I want them to stay young forever so I can always watch them. I can watch the Bret Harts. I can watch the Shawn Michaels. I can continue to watch Chris Jericho, guys like Daniel Bryan, all my favorites, and always watch them. But, you know, you're right. He had his WrestleMania moment. And for me, as a fan, to hear him say how much gratitude he had, you know, it's a two-way street. It goes both ways. But, you know, for me, and I always get it from everybody I talk to, especially guys who are like old school, who watched wrestling back in the 90s or 80s, and they're always into the big, gigantic bodybuilder types, and they're like, you know, how's Daniel Bryan? He's not believable. Well, that's the point, man. It's a different time now. It's about what's real. And Daniel Bryan,
ultimate underdog,
is the ultimate underdog, but he's the most believable guy because he's a guy like me. I mean, I'm 5'11". I'm not 6 feet, 250 pounds, and, you know, ripped up like a bodybuilder. But Daniel Bryan, I would live vicariously through him and all my favorites who were definitely not bodybuilders. And you live vicariously through them, and you appreciate the work and the hard work they put into it. So when you hear a guy like Daniel Bryan, or, for example, another, you know, we'll probably talk about this too, one of my favorites of all time, Martin Brodeur, the greatest goalie that ever lived.
I was about to get to that before you said
we'll get to it. I just want to use that as an example. And you see them say thank you and appreciate it. You see them get emotional. It gets us emotional too, because not only is it a piece of your childhood closing, and Daniel Bryan obviously wasn't in my childhood, he was in my adulthood, but still, it feels like, wow, that book closes, and you just only hope and pray as a fan that they understand how much you mean to them. And for me, I would like to say, Bryan Danielson, thank you so much for making me a fan again. Because there's a point, Jeff, for you both and I, we weren't big WWE or wrestling fans at all. We kind of we never lost the passion for it, but it was becoming very difficult to watch. And Daniel Bryan, to me, saved me to want to watch it again and root for a guy to say, hey, that's my guy. And it made it fun again.
And I remind you, this man never lost the title.
No.
Never lost the Intercontinental Championship. And it sucks. And I know you're getting a little emotional too, and I remember I posted something to, because they took a picture down of Bryan. He was kind of crouched down with Brie right before he came out, or just afterwards or something. And to me, that was a private moment that I think they shouldn't have taken the picture of. But he was crouched down, and it had to be a sad time in his life because something that you love to do was taken away from you. But, you know, it just sucks because you wish it was a work. And you wish it was.
It would have been an awesome work if that was the case.
And you wish, because that's the wrestling fan inside you, because you always believe.
Yep.
But
you always believe in that one more match.
It's not the case. And you know what? Hey, at least he found out before it got worse. Before it's going to get worse, he's going to get to move into a new chapter in his life. And again, thank you, thank you, thank you.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Yes. Exactly.
Awesome. And one more thing in closing, Jeff. You mentioned before, WrestleMania 30, get a chance to meet him, and then him winning the title. I feel grateful, and I think I can speak for you, that we're able to share that moment and have that moment.
That's going to be a moment that we're going to be like, wow, we'll always have. We went there.
Yes, you know, it'll never be forgotten.
We saw Daniel Bryan, we met him.
Mm-hmm. So thank you, Bryan Danielson, for everything you've done to make wrestling fun again, and we'll never forget you, and we wish you nothing but the best in your future with billions of babies you're going to have on your farm.
And, you know, again, thank you.
Nice haircut, by the way. You know, he cut his hair pretty nice, you know.
Was it you that didn't like it? Somebody told me they didn't like it.
He cut his hair nice. I don't like it.
Wow.
Because I think I liked him with the shorter hair. That's a new hairstyle now. Everybody does the comb-over thing now. You know, that was like my grammar school days. Or the part, which you rock, man, by the way. I got to say, you rock it.
I don't even think we even talked about Super Bowl or anything like that, did we? We didn't even get to...
Because it was kind of uneventful to me. I mean, these last couple of...
I'm not going to bore you because this has already been... But again, you know, very lackluster. For Super Bowl 50, and then to watch that, it was, you know...
I can only say that I think you fell asleep during it.
Did the Panthers do...
You fell asleep during some of it, didn't you?
Did the Panthers do... They gave away that game. They gave away the game. Yes, no. No, yes.
Oh, yeah, I thought you were going to continue. I thought you were like doing dramatic effect. I'm sorry.
I'm not from that kind of school.
All right, if we're going to try to dissect it a little bit here.
No, I'm just saying, I just think they gave it away. I'm not going to tell you why. You know,
I don't think they gave it away, though.
You don't think they gave it away?
No, I think the Broncos were giving the game away. They couldn't do anything. No.
Yeah, Peyton really looked old.
Basically the defense on the field for 60, no, not for 16, I'm being exaggerated here. For 59 minutes, the defense was on the field, basically winning the game. The defense was offense and defense at the same time. It was ridiculous.
Yeah, I remember talking to Anthony DeMarco about Peyton Manning, and he just looked, if he decides to play again, you know, think twice, because, you know, what a way to go out. I'm not one to tell you when to quit, but if there's any time that it would make so much sense to leave and leave on a good note, go with your Papa John's.
Yes.
Go make commercials. Go get paid by CBS or Nationwide, Fox, yes, or ESPN, and enjoy the next part of your life, you know?
Yes.
Here's a guy that should retire. And Daniel Bryan was forced to retire. So that's...
Yeah. Well, you know, Peyton Manning's close to that in terms of health. But you know what? All I can say to close that out is the mere fact that if Peyton Manning does decide to play again, which he has every right to, an athlete should end when they want to on their merits. But it's such a storybook ending. I mean, he cemented his legacy. Why would you want to now... Why would you want to tamper with that now? If he walks away into the sunset, oh, and by the way, did you see that clip of what's that lineman who was on the Jared Allen?
Oh, when he read the
defensive
it off
lineman,
the sunset?
He's,
yeah,
like, "There's not much
funny.
Of us." He's on a horse. He's,
yeah,
like,
"That was funny.
That was badass." I was like, "That's awesome. This guy's a real country guy." Yeah. He's like, "Yeah, he has a cowboy hat on."
Definitely better than Marshawn Lynch when he just hung up the cleats on Instagram or Twitter.
Yeah,
and he goes, you know, peace or something like that.
I'm hanging these up so I won't get fined. Exactly. I'm hanging these up so I won't get fined.
Speaking of retired, I'm just, you know, browsing through.
But anyway, badass thing, right? As he walked up, I was like, man,
just browsing
cowboy.
Through and speaking of retirement, I think Floyd Mayweather said something like, "I would make easy work of Golovkin." And for, you know, we're not going to go delve into the boxing world, although we could.
We got to dive in a little into UFC.
Okay, but really quick, though.
Yeah.
I mean, these statements that he's making, come on. Eventually, the itch is, you know, you got to scratch it. You can't play with your money all the time. It gets kind of boring. You can buy the most expensive car in the world. You can bang woman after woman that you want. You know what I mean?
With that being said, it kind of gets your mind off the itch.
Yeah, well, you know what I mean. But, I mean, just these things like, I would make easy work with Golovkin. Not that you would have the balls enough to fight Golovkin,
mm-hmm.
but just him saying this, I feel like the itch is back.
Well, you know, I had the...
And that's a guy, honestly, I wish he would stay away, just because I can't stand the guy.
Yeah.
But just the comments that he's making here, just it just seems like it's planting the seed, which is the theme of this of the show.
Yeah. Well, I had the, and you know this, I had the privilege of, at one point, working alongside two boxing historians like Randy Gordon and Jerry Cooney.
Oh, yeah.
And you've listened to the shows. Mm-hmm. And the one thing you get from that is, my perspective is, to me, Floyd Mayweather is the most typical, or no, prototype example of what a narcissist is. He's a narcissist. Why would he say
these
things?
That's a guy that loves himself.
Yeah, not the narcissist.
Not Lex Luger.
Not Lex Luger. A narcissist. Because he just wants to be in the media because he needs that attention. If I was Floyd Mayweather, I would have just... been left in obscurity. Nobody knows where the hell I am. I'm just go banging every
attention.
Girl I want.
And he wants attention.
He wants the attention. And, you know, it's going to come back to bite him if he does come back. I mean, at this point, to me, it made no sense for him to retire at 49-0. I was like, why don't you want to break the record? You're somebody who cares so much about yourself. Don't you want to be the only man and beat Rocky Marciano's record and then call it a career?
He's one away,
he's
right?
One away. Like, it really would have bothered him. There's no competition there for him.
Fight Amir Khan.
Amir Khan, yeah, or, you know, who's supposedly the, you know, probably might have been the kryptonite for Floyd Mayweather.
Yeah, right.
Now,
I don't believe that.
Yeah, now Triple G, give me a break. I mean,
oh no, you don't think Golovkin? I think he ducked Golovkin.
No. I said give me a break. That's never gonna happen.
Oh yeah, no,
it's never gonna happen.
No,
there's two distinct body types. Even I would say if the fight did happen, disagree me if with this if you want to, but it would happen like Floyd would win on points just because he's gonna avoid Golovkin. He's going to run away from
him. You know what? I think out of everybody's punches, though, if Golovkin punched the body and the arms, I think the thing is you need to strike his arms when he has his guard up.
They destroy his shoulders because he's that shoulder roll block all the time.
Yeah, but you need to somehow get in that that less meaty part, and then just, you know, I think Golovkin has the punching power. But, you know, on the other hand, Mayweather seems like he wants the attention, but somebody who's kind of been ducking, and then, you know, you came and told me about this once you saw the Ellen, well, we didn't see the Ellen show, but we heard it, Ronda Rousey was on it.
Oh, yeah.
And she got into those comments. I think that's what you wanted to get to with the UFC.
No, I want to talk about UFC 196, McGregor? But no, we can talk about that. Yeah, basically, Ronda Rousey, and wow, this is going to be cool now. Now I'm really going to let the gloves fly loose, because I deal with a lot of people that are very defensive and protective of Ronda Rousey. All right, this is a person
here.
Yeah,
those people are not protecting Ronda Rousey. They're protecting Cha-Ching, hopefully.
Cha-Ching,
yeah,
exactly.
The brand.
Exactly. This is a person here that, I want to say this short and sweet, don't want to go too long on this, but was basically a World Olympic judo champion,
yeah.
A bronze medalist. Came into the world of mixed martial arts because after the Olympics, there's basically nothing after the Olympics.
No, you got to basically either go to MMA or find her, be a common Joe, do a regular job.
Need to pay the bills. Yeah. She was so different from every other female fighter, because there are other female fighters before her. You know, Chris Cyborg and Gina Carano are the two most popular ones that even you would know who they are. Okay? So she comes on, and she takes it by storm because she does, in my mind, a little pro wrestling promo gimmicks where she not only wins.
She's marketable.
She wins convincingly and says the stuff that's on her mind, which a lot of people thought were, it was very admirable. It was very refreshing. Wow, this is somebody who's actually saying what's on their mind. But here's the thing. When you start get building up as the greatest fighter, not female, because we're not discriminating male or female here, but when you're called the best fighter in the world,
and you're basically the face of UFC, which at one point didn't let the women fight.
Dana White himself would go on and say, you'll never see women fight in the UFC.
And now basically your moneymaker, your cash, well, I'm not going to say that because people would get on me because, oh, you call her. Your moneymaker is a woman.
Exactly. And with that being said, to live up to that hype, you were destined to fail.
Yeah.
She would go on countless interviews saying, I'm going to retire undefeated, yada, yada, yada. We've heard this even from male athletes, right? And it's very difficult to do that. But when you have a career in mixed martial arts as short as hers, and you have weak competition, which was her division, how can you really make that claim? So people can make the argument there. But then she gets knocked out by Holly Holmes.
But here's the thing. At the process, she develops, to me, becomes somewhat of a bully. And at one point, you want to see the bully go down. So go to your Holly home.
Well, not just a bully. Anybody that has success, like the New England Patriots like dynasties, we always want them to fail because after a while, you get sick and tired. I want something different, right? You know,
but also, John Cena,
sick and tired watching Zenny. I want him to lose. I want something different, damn it. But she built up this thing and started getting some type of an ego. Now you need some type of an ego to be successful in life and anything, especially in that sport. And so she gets destroyed. Not only a lucky punch, she gets destroyed by Holly Holmes. Finally, somebody who's exposed all the things that people negated, that she had holes in her game, and maybe she wasn't as good as she thought she was. So she goes on the Ellen Show, a devastating loss, haven't heard for her first public appearance. Went in hiding. And makes her first public appearance on the Ellen Show, and she talked about the loss with her and how devastating it was, how depressed she was. And
well, she did a skit on SNL, but then I think this was her first
public interview.
Yeah, there you go.
Yes, I stand corrected. No. Thank you, Jeff. Her first public interview. And basically went to the point of saying that it was so distraughting, the loss, that she actually had thoughts of suicide, of ending her life, because it was just so devastating. Because, I mean, I'm only paraphrasing this, so don't guys get mad at me if I don't quote it correctly. But basically, to the extent that she said, if I am not this ideal persona anymore because of the loss, then what am I anymore? People aren't going to love me anymore. And to me, that shocked me, for one. And two, made me say, wow, this is somebody who did a persona, and now they're having these suicidal thoughts. First of all, the insecurities is what draws me to it. This person has so many insecurities. We all do. But the mere fact that she stood on day after day, every media outlet she did, and went out and said, I don't care what anybody thinks about me. You can boo me if you want. I don't care, blah, blah. Basically sticking a middle finger to everybody that was against her. Not everybody. Everybody loved her, was her best friend. And
yes,
then this happens.
Yeah,
and then this happens. And she is that devastated. It just makes me realize, like you use the bully analogy, when you punch a bully in the face, their whole world falls apart, because when they're not this anymore.
Not the illusion.
Not the illusion. You know, they're not the hype they once were.
Exactly. And once you dent somebody, see, the bully is built on their insecurities of themselves.
Yeah.
So once the bully, once that shield, once there's a dent in it, you know, you see that there's nothing behind it. So it was weird. And if you're an opponent of Holly Holm, and I know she was kind of left, you didn't know what to say about it, whatever.
Yeah.
But if you're an opponent of Ronda Rousey now, you got to be like, if I can break this, if I can break her spirit, you know, it's easier said than done because, you know, you really physically have to do it.
Yeah.
And there's only, Holly Holm's been the only person to do it. I mean, she's vulnerable. There's a vulnerability there for Ronda Rousey. And it could be just an act and she's trying to lure her in because you did say she does, like, these, you know, kind of, like, really good promos, WWE-ish style, whatever like that. So, you know, maybe it's a false sense to Holly Holm to be like, hey, you know, look at this, I'm vulnerable. But then again, It could be how she really feels. I don't know, but it was just weird to watch.
It was weird to watch and just open my eyes.
On national TV, just, you know.
Yeah, I mean, hey, if she wants to, she has every right to say if she wants to on national TV, I would keep things like that private. But in the mere fact that just gave me the thing that how amazing it is in this world and day and age, Jeff, that things are built up, and when you start believing your own hype, you know, to live up to that billing is really difficult. And Ronda Rousey is a perfect example of it. She was to the highest of highs and to the lowest of lows. Kind of like Mike Tyson, which everybody compares her to.
Again,
except Holly Holmes ain't no Buster Douglas.
Exactly. No.
She ain't no Buster Douglas.
And if you believe it, then I dare you to bet against her when they have the rematch.
All right, so real quick, let's get into UFC 196.
And this is your thing, too, so you got to inform me. Inform the public.
But you know that this pretty well.
McGregor's moving up in weight class.
Yeah, the main event. In the co-main event, Holly Holmes is there. We'll talk about it because, you know, Jeff's got a little something for Misha Cupcake Tate.
That's her name, Cupcake Tate?
I forgot what it was. No, I forgot what it was before. Yeah, but now she's
the nickname. See the boyfriend, Cupcake. Which Brian told me. See the boyfriend.
His name's Brian too.
Listen,
with an I though.
So
he's not me.
Moving up in weight class.
I live vicariously through him.
Where is this, in Brazil?
No, it's gonna be in Las Vegas. So it's basically Conor McGregor is the featherweight champion. Mm-hmm. That's basically a division smaller.
And he wiped the floor with Aldo.
Yes, he
knocked him out.
He defeated a guy who is considered the best pound-for-pound fight.
And lost in how many years?
If I can finish a thought first for a second.
Well, I'm trying to...
I'm trying to do it, but you're f***ing interrupting me. But yeah, he defeated a guy who hadn't been defeated in 10 years. Self-proclaimed by everybody the best pound-for-pound fighter, Jose Aldo. Knocks him out in 13 seconds. And has done that effortlessly in that division. Dominates his division. Now he wins the title, but that's not good enough for him because he was a multi-champion before he went to the UFC, and now he wants to go up against the 155-pound champion. I hope I'm saying this right because it's Brazilian. Rafael dos Anjos for the 155 title. Another Brazilian, just like Jose Aldo. And if you look at pictures of Conor McGregor now, he looks gigantic.
Yeah,
he is jacked and ready to go.
Who wins?
It's tough, man. Both of these guys, the guy like Rafael dos Anjos, he's not like a Jose Aldo who just kicks and stuff. This guy has a motor. He can go. He has the most ridiculous, sick workouts. I mean, we always talk about cardio, right? This guy literally exercises so much that he has an oxygen mask in front of him. He's strong. He's built. He fights at 155. He walks normally in his non-fighting weight at 200 pounds.
Oh, wow.
He's a gigantic frame. Wow. But McGregor is actually the bigger man in this fight in terms of body frame, but he's coming from a lower weight class. So this is amazing. And the reason why this is so important is, again, I think McGregor's going to win. Not because of the whole hoopla and the way he does great promotion of himself, but you will have the first time you'll have a champion in two weight divisions. And there have been rumors going on that he wants to actually fight Robbie Lawler.
And where is he at? Is he like,
he's at 170.
Oh, wow. So that's how many weight classes is that, too?
Yeah, so if he's 155, he'll have to go up. No, because there's that. There's a lightweight, lightweight, which is what Rafael dos Anjos is. And then that's welterweight, 170. Okay. So he's actually going to have to go up 20 more pounds of muscle to put on there.
Wow.
And he wants to defend all three. So this is just interesting if you're not even a fighter fan, you're looking, look at this guy.
Yeah.
Look at this guy collecting all these belts if he does at 196.
Two questions I have for you is...
sure.
Dana White, I read somewhere where he didn't even think McGregor could beat Dos Anjos. Dos Anjos, right? I don't want to butcher it. I'm Spanish. I should pronounce it well. Dos Anjos, right? Dana White said that he didn't believe he could win that. Do you think it's just, you know, how bad would it be if Conor McGregor loses. You know, you have another guy, a moneymaker here, and he loses a lot to lose for Conor McGregor. I give him credit for having the balls to do this, but is it smart for him to do it?
Is it smart? That's questionable. I think it is, because here's the thing. In any professional athlete's life and career, it's short. So what you want to do is you want to make the most bang for your buck.
Yeah.
He wasn't going to wait and try to earn his way and spend maybe 10 or 15 years in the fighting game. So what does he want to do? He's in the UFC. He's going to make money for himself. So I think business-wise, it's a smart move. Physically, I think Conor will be fine. Even if he loses, but here's the difference between him. Ronda now has other avenues, like, for example, film and movie, but being undefeated was so important to her. Being undefeated, I mean, this guy already... Conor McGregor isn't—he's undefeated in the UFC, but he's not undefeated in his MMA career. He's had like four losses.
So
he's been defeated.
Yeah.
So if he lost, he's still the light—he's still the featherweight champion.
Right. He's not an, okay.
This is a super fight.
So
it's not title for title.
So the positives outweigh the negatives here.
Yes, the positives completely outweigh the negatives. It's a risk worth taking. Conor McGregor's a smart man. And he wouldn't go into a fight knowing he was going to lose, because at the same time, why would you want to put yourself through physical harm?
What is it, Frankie Edgar? Is that the guy that he blew off to?
It was originally be Frankie Edgar, because he was going to be next
in
line.
Same class, right? But he decided to move up. What do you think of that? Do you think you need to at least defend the title once?
Well, the time frame...
Or give it up. I think if you're going to move up, I think you should vacate that. It's not fair to the weight class.
That's what people said before. Here's why I disagree with it. You can vacate if you want, but if you can make the weight and go back and forth, because these titles are only defended. They're not defended every week or every month.
Oh, so
they're defended.
So
they're defended. They're defended every 3 or 4 months.
So if
he moves up to 155 and he wins, then he does. And March 5th, he doesn't have to defend it now till March, April, May, till probably June or August. His lightweight belt. He would go back down to featherweight and come back up.
It's
got
to be tough on the body to do that, though.
It's got to be tough, but he's young enough to do it.
Do it maybe 2-3 times a year, and he's probably doing it 5 times.
Yeah, and they'd be, you know, he wow. It's tough for him to make that cut to 145 for him.
Yeah.
If that's the title he has now. But
I think I've been 145 since 8th grade.
I haven't been 145. I've never been 145. I got out of the wound, and I was like freaking already 90 pounds.
Yeah. But
my mom hates me for that.
See, but no, it's good. It's good that I know you're my UFC guy, mm-hmm. and that's good.
And then Holly Holmes in the co-main event will defend her first defense.
Yeah.
Everybody thought it was going to be an instant rematch, setting up for UFC 200, which is going to be in June, and they still wanted to get the New York Athletic State Commission to finally allow fighting there. Want to do it in Madison Square Garden,
yeah.
The mecca of sports, right? Why would you not want to do it? All the titles are going to be on the line, kind of like a Night of Champions thing.
That's pretty good.
It's not going to happen. Ronda has obligations, and Holly didn't want to wait too long to 200 to do it. Even if she waited, probably wasn't going to be Ronda anyway.
Do you think they could get Cyborg to do 200? Do you think they could, since there's not that really much of animosity between Cyborg and like there was Ronda Rousey, you think they could get her to do 200 with Holly Holm if she beats Tate?
Well, here's the thing. Holly Holm's gone on record, especially after the fight, saying that she would be up to fight Cyborg. No problem. Mm-hmm. They've actually, you know, the thing is, her, Misha, not to sidetrack you, her, Misha, and Holly have all done a movie together. And if you compare Misha, your girl, to Cyborg, she towers over her.
Yeah?
Yes. Literally towers over it. Gigantic.
Cyborg's small, but she's like a...
Cyborg's huge.
Oh, okay.
There's even a video on YouTube where she almost like power bombed Tito Ortiz.
Wow.
She lifted him up and almost body slammed him, and Tito Ortiz is her trainer. So back to the fight, though, Holly has gone on record to say she would fight Cyborg. She had no problem with it if that fight presented itself. But Cyborg has gone on record saying she would fight Holly Holmes. We have no problem, but she wouldn't fight her at her weight, which is 135.
Oh, that's it, the weight class. What's the difference in the weight classes between the females?
Well, there are only two female weight classes right now. There's the bantamweight, which is 135.
And that's Cyborg?
No, that's not Cyborg. Cyborg fights 10 pounds over, so she fights at 145, which is what Holly usually fought in when she first started MMA after her boxing career.
Could they meet at, like, 140?
That was the biggest thing between her and Ronda. Ronda went on the claim saying, I'm the champion, you have to come down to me. But Cyborg couldn't physically make it to 135 because she'd lose body mass and just was unhealthy for her to do it. Some people just can't drop. Like right now, if I were to drop to 150, 140, I couldn't do it physically. Yeah. My body would shut down on me. So that was the situation with Cyborg. But Holly has no problem going up in weight 10 more pounds, which is fine for her, and meeting her at catch weight. Misha said the same thing. She would fight Cyborg at catchweight. So that fight might happen, but she said for her to ever go back down, to ever try to go to 135, have done. since Ronda got knocked out by Holly. Those dreams now of a Ronda cyborg fight are done, unless Ronda decides to go up 10 more pounds to have that super fight.
Wow. So
now she's going to go up against Misha Tate, your girl.
We didn't think we were going to see Manny and Floyd. We eventually saw it. I think, again, it all comes down to the money, man. I think if it all comes down to the money, if Dana White can somehow manage it, you know what I mean, and the money talks, I think they'll do it. I don't, you know, I'm not into it as much as you are, so I really don't know what the reality is of that happening. You know, you're more negative about it than I am. So, again, you know.
I'm not negative.
Well, no, I'm saying you're more. Okay. No, I'm sorry. You just don't think more is not going to happen as much as I think is, you know, the money.
It'll make money, but. Like we talked about before, if Pacquiao and Mayweather fought in their primes, yeah. Like especially when Manny was hot, that could have made so much more money. And I've spoken to a lot of guys who are boxing, like they love boxing, they think they're historians, and they're like, dude, how much more? Yeah, they think they are. And they're like, oh my God, man, no. It makes more sense for them to do it now. You know why? Because look how much money they banked by waiting longer for have the people, you know, yearn for it. Okay, I get that point of it, but then you don't get the best versus the best. And if they're going to make this money, it only made sense for Ronda to be undefeated and the champion to fight Cyborg. Now, granted, a loss doesn't end her career. It doesn't tarnish her legacy. What it does, though, it just takes the aura away from it. Here's Ronda Rousey undefeated.
You're creating legacies over there.
I don't know, but hey, it's a main thing. That's the topic. That's the word of the day on Pee-wee's Playhouse here. Legacy. But, which, by the way, is coming out with that movie. You saw the trailer for it?
It's on Netflix. I'm looking forward to Fuller House premiering this week.
I know. You've been talking about that all week. Jesus Christ. No. But,
no Michelle, though. She doesn't, you know.
It's all right. We don't need her. They just put like
all
a.
I got to say is Stephanie Tanner.
She's in
Stephanie
it.
Stephanie Tanner done grown.
Oh, my God. Stephanie Tanner. Stephanie, I'm I'll never look at Stephanie right the same here. Way. Stephanie Tanner. How rude. Did you hide that body from me all these years? Kimmy Gigglebush still looks the same. Yeah. But, And DJ's hot. Yeah. She's cute.
And real quick, though.
They're going to CGI implant Michelle into the Fuller House. No. That's what they're going to do.
No, really?
Because contractually, they can still use that character. It's really? Under their name.
Wow.
And so they're going to CGI her in there. Kind of like they did with Paul Walker.
Really? The older?
They're going to have some. They're gonna have somebody,
Olsen twins?
Or the... Yeah, they're going to have somebody that looks the body type of the Olsen twins, and they're going to just superimpose CGI on, and it's going to look like Michelle.
Interesting. I did not know that.
I just made that up.
Ah.
Made sense, though, right?
I fell for it.
Good work.
No, but just real quick on the whole Manny thing, we need to talk about Pacquiao. I'm not going to say what he said because it's been everywhere, but all I'm going to say is this. Last I checked, this is a free country. He believes what he believes. It may not be what the majority believes in, and it's not something that I would agree with, but you know what? It's his opinion. Right or wrong, he's not running for office here in the U.S. It's in the Philippines. So that's all I got to say. That's all I got to say about that.
You know, I like to touch on this topic, and I'll put my two cents in, but I like to touch this topic and have Matt Fox on. We got Matt Fox on again because of the whole political stuff going on. But again, I said this to you actually yesterday when we had a chance to hang out at 3 in the morning. Jeff and I met up, and I was like, it's amazing how in this world now, whatever opinion you have, granted, however far-fetched or towards the left or towards the right that it is, it defines a person nowadays. And, you know, I grant you are defined by your beliefs, but at the same time, you shouldn't be vilified for them too, because everybody has the right to believe in everything they want, whether people agree with it or not. If you say the sky is red, Jeff, and I say it's blue, and this is a very simplistic example, I can try to prove to you it's blue, but if you believe it's red, who am I to say you're wrong? Who am I to say that's incorrect, you know? But at the same time, Manny Pacquiao has his beliefs, has his opinion. He's kind of been ousted a little bit.
He's paid for it. Yeah. Nike's cut off ties with him as far as business-wise. He's paid for it. But listen, you know, there's other people that have done a lot far worse than him just blasting what he believes.
And will this affect him in the long run in terms of the Boxing Hall of Fame?
He's going to go to the Philippines.
No, I'd be thinking maybe the Boxing Hall of Fame now, they'll look at something like this. You know how people are always, you know, very politically correct, and who knows, it might affect them. You never know.
Yeah, that's a shame if that happens.
Yeah. Financially, it'd be fine.
Yeah, no, but that'd be a shame if that happens because the man didn't take
steroids. It's not far-fetched, though.
The man didn't take PEDs that we know of. The man's not
that we know of.
The man's not hasn't hit a woman, okay? The man just, you know, spoke his mind. Whether it's wrong, whether people want to believe that it's wrong, hey, that's you guys to decide. But, you know, last I checked, this is a free country, and he spoke his mind. Listen, we have an amazing couple of shows that we're going to try to accomplish here. Dave Destruction, we're going to get back and touch base with him because he is making a comeback. And he'll be making
a comeback.
Yeah, no, he's going to make a comeback.
He's back and ready to go, baby.
We're excited.
Daved
Destruction. We're going to get on this week so he can promote. March 5th, he's coming back. He's going to be in a Rumble match. So, you know, listen, to me, that was one of my most favorite podcasts to do. He's very positive. Had to take some time away from a lot of stuff. But, you know, when we come back and we hear from him, you know, a lot of stuff has happened in his life for the better, for positive, and you know, he's a new guy, a new man, and it'll be great to catch up with Dave Destruction.
It's always great talking to him. You know, unfortunately, we don't talk to him as much as we want to, but again, to hear all those things that are going good in his life, it will be a great show, no doubt about it. Can't wait to have Dave on.
Happy. So again, have that planned this week, and also. You know, we end up knowing a world champion here on the High Spot podcast, and that's Max Caster, and hopefully
Bad Boy.
The Bad Boy and the American Bad Boy, mm-hmm. Created pro wrestling champion. I've seen his promos, his matches. I think he has a chance. He's young enough. I think he might have a chance.
He's always had, since I've known him, that type of charisma. And so you just see it from that aspect of breaking the fourth wall. You see it from us knowing him a little bit. And it's great. I'm so happy for him. I hope he makes it. I hope it's just on to bigger and better things for him. But at the same time, it's always great to see that because, you know, we're such a wrestling fans, and so is he. And you're like, wow, we know that guy. So, great. Exactly. We were great to have him on.
So a champion in the wrestling world for a Creator Pro, and we'll have him on soon enough. So we have a lot of stuff we're working on here.
Check our Twitter, and we'll post the dates when they're coming on.
Exactly.
So if you guys want to check out dates of guests coming on, check our podcast Twitter account at the High Spot Podcast. Check that out for guests
at
coming
High
up
Spot
pretty
podcast.
Soon.
Follow us on the Twitter. So we have those two guests, much more lined up for you. Hey, you know what, Brian? It's been great. I really wanted just real quick, CM Punk, back surgery. Will he ever get back in the octagon? Will he ever make a debut in the octagon?
I think it will, but it won't live up to the billing. And the money that UFC invested in him, I don't think it'll end up being as big of a show.
Matches?
He signed for eight matches. You know, that can always be canceled.
Yeah.
You know, it's not a big deal if you sign a contract for eight. It can always be nulled and void. But for CM Punk, I think his biggest thing is, I think he will be in the octagon one time. More than that, I don't know.
Well, let me tell you, when we were watching NXT, we were like, man, if he was in NXT, he'd be happy.
Yeah, well, that knocks his
head
and back surgery.
No, but I'm saying, if he was in NXT.
He would have been happy, yeah. And just one more thing, Jeff, I just want to say that here before we say our goodbyes here, is that a piece of my childhood had gone away, not in a bad way, but to me, we had mentioned this before, the greatest goaltender in my life that I think I've ever seen, I'm sure people argue, is the greatest, had his jersey retired several weeks ago. I speak of Martin Brodeur, who was the goaltender for majority of his career with the New Jersey Devils. And when I watch that ceremony, I have it taped and watch back, I still get teary-eyed because it's something of watching Martin Brodeur at 19 years old when I was like 5 or 6 years old and seeing him grow. And that same thing we talk about with Daniel Bryan, you know, you want them always stay young forever.
Yeah.
And to see Marty there standing by the statue, seeing his family, to see his jersey go up there with Scott Stevens, Ken Danico, and Scott Niedermeyer, it's satisfying, but it hurts because I still want Marty to play.
They can't play forever.
Yeah, I still want Marty to play.
And when we're like 15 years old and we're like, oh, man, they got like, what, 10, 12 years left, and then that time goes by fast and you wish they could play forever. And I think when I get to The Rock, to the Prudential Center for my first game there to see the Devils, and I see that number 30, yeah, I lost it when I saw the tribute. Tears rolled down my eye. That's a hero for me. That's also a huge part of my childhood. And I think that's all that was left of my childhood. I really do. I can do now is reminisce. But that was the last piece of my childhood.
So if I can speak for you, I'd want to say to Martin Brodeur and the entire Martin Brodeur family, thank you so much for making our enjoyment of the New Jersey Devils and giving them the respect and credibility that they deserve. Not only Scott Stevens, Ken Dano, Scott Niemeyer, but Martin Brodeur was literally, no pun intended, the rock of that franchise.
Three cups, baby.
Three
Chris
cups.
Criticize them all you want.
Could have been
trap,
more.
The defense, whatever, the shots. Hey, you know what? He's got three cups.
We love you, Marty.
Marty, thank you. Thank you, thank you. Thank you,
get rid of that damn trapezoid.
Thank you to Dan O'Brien. Thank you to Martin Brodeur. Mm-hmm. Two really classy guys at what they did.
And thank you to you, Jeff, too. My tag team partner, that is Jeff Martin.
Good show. We got into a lot of stuff.
We got into a lot of stuff, and I think it was really fun. It just flowed. It was easy, and that's what happens when Jeff and I catch up. It goes from one to the other, and it's always great, and hopefully you guys enjoy it. Again, hit us up on Twitter, at High Spot Podcast. Jeff had mentioned all the guests. We're gonna shoot it on our Twitter account. You're gonna see when they're coming on. We're gonna have them specifically for you and for us. And we're on the road to WrestleMania. Yeah. After tonight, we're on the road, literally there. Can't wait, Jeff. Always a pleasure
definitely.
To hang out with
again,
you. Man.
Yeah, definitely. That Dave Sturcher one will be out this week. And again, thanks to everybody, Brian. Great catching up today. Wasn't work. It was really just great reminiscing and catching up.
All right. So for Jeff Martin, I'm Brian Berger. You guys are listening to the High Spot Podcast. Again, catch us on Twitter at High Spot Podcast, and we'll catch you later.
Martin. 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 Martin.